Hello and welcome to Southern Comfort, a SoCon podcast where we talk all things Southern Conference sports. Cole Spivey here, as always, with Will Fleming. Will, you want to say what's up to the people?
Happy to be back. What's going on?
This week, guys, you know, we have our most anticipated guest, I would say. Maybe not our biggest, you know, we've got some seven-footers on this podcast before, but this week we have the Southern Conference Commissioner, Michael Cross, MC, as his nickname. MC, you want to say what's up to the people?
What's up to the people? How you guys doing? Good to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, we're very thankful to have him on. You know, for people that might not know his background, he has nearly 30 years of experience in athletic administration, with previous stops at Penn State, Bradley, Princeton, and Michigan. We're really thrilled to have you on.
Thanks, guys. Great to be here. We've got a couple conversations coming into this, and I'm looking forward to talking with you. So it should be good stuff.
You know, first, I think kind of people would just love to know what made you come down to the Southern Conference. You know, what kind of made you throw your hat in the ring for the commissioner here?
Well, you know, I've spent time, you mentioned the 30-year career piece. And, you know, as I think about the career, you know, it's always about the student athletes and making sure they have a great experience. And that's certainly the case when you're on a campus. But much of my career going back to my days at Michigan had to do with a really strong interest in understanding the ways that colleges and universities use their athletic programs to advance all kinds of institutional aims, whether that's undergraduate admissions, marketing and branding. You know, people like to use the phrase, the front porch of the university. In many cases, you'll hear that as a common saying about how athletics is used by institutions. And I find the role that conferences play in this to be particularly interesting. And especially so at this time. I mean, as you look at the shuffling that's happening nationally, and the schools that are moving and the way people are reconfiguring their conference affiliations, I'm very enthusiastic and study this aspect and the way colleges and universities come together around their conferences in a very intensive way. And when you get an opportunity like the opportunity here at the Southern Conference to partner and be involved and lead a 100-year-plus historic organization and do it with presidents and directors of athletics who have good priorities, who have an ability and an interest to come together in a way that has common values, common approach, I think there's opportunities to do some special things. And ultimately, I'm very thankful that they felt like some of the skill sets that I would bring to the table would fit with what they were seeking around the leadership aspects. And that's why I've moved to the upstate South Carolina area. And I'm looking forward to getting things going in the not too distant future as we kick off our fall sports.
Great. Well, we're happy to have you, of course. And so my question is, how did you find out about you getting the job?
So, you know, a lot of the aspects of what happens in college athletics revolve around search firms, particularly when you have a job like this where it's not one institution trying to make a choice, but multiple institutions. So I think all of the conference commissioner positions that have opened in the last few years have had search firms that have had people involved in leading that to bring together what are they looking for? What do they think makes sense? And then those search firms go out and ultimately try and attract and find candidates that they think align with what the presidents of the conference are seeking. And I was contacted by the search firm that did the work in this case, Todd Turner and Collegiate Sports Associates, and asked some questions. He thought there were some things that made sense. You start getting into the process, you learn more, you're fortunate enough to get a first interview, you know, you're fortunate enough to move from the first interview to the second interview. And then ultimately they say, hey, what do you think? And, you know, was it really, took about all of 3 seconds to say, yes, I think I'd love to do it. So very, very proud of the opportunity for sure.
Of course, that's great. It's very exciting. Now, tell me, who did you first call when you found out the incredible news?
I called my wife. So she wasn't there. But I called my wife. And then from there, there's some very close and good friends in the business. A couple at Penn State. My college roommate is a Division I athletic director. Talked to him right away. Talked to a couple other mentors, and then of course my references and some good friends. So, you know, those are that's a big broad list of people, but it's not enormous. I mean, it's less than, honestly, less than 10 people that I put in the know until we got to the, you know, final stages of making the announcement. So I tend to operate in a private manner. I'm not a big broadcaster of my business. And so people that had supported me along the journey and I felt needed to know, and that's who found out.
That's very neat. Now, you have done this for, you know, nearly 30 years. Would you consider this a dream job for you?
You know, I've honestly never taken a job that hasn't been a dream job. I don't know that I would say I dreamed of being the commissioner of this conference in particular, but every stop in my career path that I've had, I have always thought to myself, if I don't think I can see myself here for the rest of my career, this isn't a job I want to jump into. So my career movement has been, I would say, less than many people who have done this as long as I have. I'm not saying I haven't moved, because obviously you talked about the places I've been. But all of those stops, including the Knight Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics, have been very informative as it relates to where I'm trying to go and finding a fit between the way I think about the world of college athletics and those institutions and those organizations, which is what I was fortunate to find in this case.
Now, prior to coming in as a commissioner, had you had any experience or history with any of the SoCon teams?
So very limited. I had been to the Citadel. I had been to Western Carolina, but I wouldn't say I had any particular relationships at those schools. The one place that I did have more in-depth knowledge was actually at UNC Greensboro. And it was one of the schools that I studied as part of my dissertation research. And that dissertation revolved around a study of institutions that made a very conscious choice to change their athletic classification, either moving to Division I or moving from Division I to Division II. And through that process, I studied four institutions: the University of Buffalo, my alma mater, the College of Charleston, UNC Greensboro, and then Augusta State University, who moved from Division I to Division II, a very, very good golf program there. And that process of studying those four institutions, I actually spent 3 days on Greensboro's campus back in the, late 90s. Nelson Bob was the athletic director at the time at UNC Greensboro and was very gracious in hosting me and allowing me to understand how they thought about their athletic program and why they made the decision they did to move to Division I. So, but other than that, I would say it's limited in terms of the actual, you know, understand the history, understand the details. But I think that's okay. I think bringing ideas in from other places is a good and helpful thing.
Definitely. And speaking of ideas from other places, you know, your other athletic roles with Michigan, Penn State, Princeton, and Bradley, how do you think that prepares you to be the commissioner of the Southern Conference?
So across those four institutions, there's some themes that I think make sense. The first one would be high quality academic institutions, you know, understanding what people are seeking when they go and recruit student athletes, understanding the desire to win at the highest levels. You know, it's easy to look at the time at Michigan and Penn State and say, wow, they compete at the highest levels, and they do, and by virtue of the conference that they're in and by virtue of the scope and scale of FBS football. But the reality is, my time at Princeton, Princeton is a very consistent performer and successful in the Director's Cup. I mean, they finish in the top 25 of the Director's Cup on a regular basis. And I think during the time I was there, 10 years I was there, saw 25 different teams win a national championship across all their sports. I mean, that's most... most people go through their athletic careers and may never experience a single national championship. And I was fortunate to be around people who are incredibly successful, incredibly focused in their craft, take it incredibly seriously, do it with a set of values. And, you know, surrounding yourself with and being fortunate to associate with people who win and do it regularly on a consistent basis, you pick up a lot of things. You pick up the DNA and the smells and the sounds and the flavor and the culture of what that looks like. And I try to bring that with me wherever I go. I've been very fortunate to be at places that have had a lot of success. I think that success I've benefited far more from than they may have benefited from me. And, you know, I try to take those lessons that you learn from incredible Hall of Fame level coaches and administrators and bring those into the role that I am in this particular situation as our coaches try to compete for conference and national championships and our schools try to compete for conference and national championships. So understanding the way those people think and the approaches and the voice and the attitude and the values that they operate under, I think helps inform what I'm trying to do in this role and how I think about how we can be successful as a conference and how you can try to make sure that that experience is a fair one for all involved.
That sounds great. And, you know, throughout your many tenures, you've been responsible for revenue generating opportunities where you kind of been. Do you have any plans that you can share with us and the conference that you have developed for the conference?
That's a good question. I mean, look, the reality is the finances of college athletics matter. You know, we're not in, nobody's doing what we're doing for voluntary purposes. Like we're out here and you need resources to compete. But that being said, you know, we are not going to outspend or out-resource the SEC or the ACC, you know, the two conferences of the Power Five that are in our footprint. So there's a few things that I think about as I go through what we're doing. One, I love the book and the movie Moneyball. I reference it mentally and some of the lines on a pretty regular basis. And that has to drive some of our thinking because we're not going to outspend, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox of college athletics. Just like the Oakland A's had to try and figure out how they can be successful in their world and compete for titles. So that's one mentality that I bring to the table. From there, you know, I think the way we talk about ourselves, the clarity of messaging, the consistency of that message is important. And it leads into part of the branding stuff that we just unveiled. You know, so we've got a new conference logo, conference brand. We've got, you know, we're referring to ourselves as the Southern Conference, and it's a nod to our 100-year plus history and the seriousness with which we take that. You know, it's hard to do something for a century, and we want to do it for another century. So making sure that we're positioning ourselves and our voice and the way we represent ourselves and our institutions is part of what goes into revenue generating, because I don't think you can try to be successful and appeal to all people. You know, there's Walmart and then there's niche brands like Tiffany's, like Rolex, those types of things. And those two ends of the equation can be pretty successful. And in the middle of the road, if you try and be in the middle of the road and appeal to everybody, the only thing that's in the middle of the road is roadkill, it's dead animals. So you gotta figure out who do you wanna represent, who are you trying to speak to, who you're trying to message to. It gets into our brand, it gets into our voice, it gets into understanding what our conference institutions want to be about, and then translating that into revenue generation. The two places that I would touch upon as it relates to revenue generation, one, you know, we need to do more, and we've got a lot of opportunities as it relates to corporate sponsorship. Prior to my arrival, the decision was made to part ways with a multimedia rights partner who we outsourced our corporate rights to. And we've brought that in house. We've got a woman by the name of Caroline Taylor, who is now with our staff and is in the Asheville area with 30 years of experience in iHeartRadio in the Asheville area. So Asheville is really central to what we do because of our basketball tournament, because of our ties there in other ways, again, historically in some ways. And so corporate sales is definitely one area. The basketball tournament is another area that we're focused on. Those are really the two places right out of the gate. You know, and then the third piece, honestly, competitive success. You know, we talk a lot about success in basketball, particularly because the NCAA provides financial recognition of competitive success in that sport. And so as our teams advance in the NCAA tournament, as we put more teams in the NCAA tournament in men's basketball, those are revenue opportunities. So those three lanes, corporate sales, ticket sales, and then competitive success, really are the revenue drivers that I've got my eye on that are driving some of our thinking and how we can go forward.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, kind of that basketball tournament, I think that's part of the area a lot of fans would like to see the conference grow. So kind of seeing, you know, many of these other Power Five conferences expanding and developing new teams, what are your thoughts on expansion as a whole?
Well, it's an interesting word. I tend to think of it not necessarily in terms of expansion, although it's a byproduct of the word I'm going to use, which is membership. Who do you want to associate with? Who do you want to have be your members? And who do you want to spend time with and try and make sure that you're associating with the right people and the right institutions that look and fit with who you want to be? You know, we've got strength as a conference. The history is a strength. The academic quality of our institutions is a strength. The geographic footprint that we have is a strength. And so those types of things at a macro level start to play into the question of whether or not we should expand and consider what our membership looks like. You know, I think my goal is to say, let's make sure the Southern Conference is as good as it can be, so that we hear from people on a regular basis who say, hey, how do I become a member of the Southern Conference? And we can have a conversation about whether that institution makes sense for who we think we are and who we think we want to become over time. So those are very complicated questions. I don't know that changing our membership is necessary to go and try and solve one particular problem. So if somebody said, hey, geez, let's get a 10 football team, that's not necessarily a sufficient reason to go and try and do something. Let's try and find, you know, a couple more women's basketball teams because we only have 8 and there's challenges in scheduling. That's not enough of a reason to go and add schools. So there's a lot of things that go into that equation. Those are decisions that are made at the highest levels by our CEOs, with information related to institutional type, related to finances, related to academic quality, related to competitiveness in sports, investment in those sports, in ways that we will certainly talk about and we need to talk about, you know, in its most simplistic form. You know, you talk about expansion for opportunity or you talk about expansion out of necessity. And those two things combined, I think, are how we'll think about it going forward, if we think about it at all.
And, you know, I think you kind of hinted at it a little bit here, but to put you on the spot a little bit, because I do think our fans would hate us if we didn't ask this question directly, and you don't have to give away too much. Have you thought about expansion, you know, for new teams in the Southern Conference?
It's never come up, Cole. I've never thought about it once. I just that's not where I'm spending my time. No, that's not the case. You have to pay attention to the movement of schools across Division I. The Pac-12 situation does not directly impact us. But the Pac-12 situation very much could indirectly impact us. And what are the trickle-down effects of some of those types of moves, particularly as some schools decide they want to move from FCS football to FBS football? There's certainly other conferences in our footprint that have shown an interest and an appetite to change their memberships and their membership structures. And so I track on it. It's not something that we are having any active conversations about at the moment. But as I make my way from campus to campus and visit all 10 campuses during my first 60 days, it's certainly something that comes up in conversation, and I get the perspectives of each institution about what they think makes sense. And then they'll take all that, put it together, and we'll talk about what does make sense going forward.
Gotcha. Now, speaking, you know, we've kind of brushed over the history a little bit of the Southern Conference. What excites you most about being the commissioner of the most, you know, historic conference in all of college sports?
Well, you know, it's opportunity. You know, the world is changing so incredibly as it relates to how we do all kinds of things. You know, I grew up in an era like, you know, if you would have said, hey, I'll be doing a podcast with Cole and Will, I'd be like, what's a podcast? those are very, you know, this is evolving quickly. The challenges of trying to solve the puzzle, I honestly, like, the puzzle is how do we be as successful as possible, knowing that we've got constraints. And again, I referenced before, we're not going to outspend, some of our bigger conference peers. But we're part of a big tent within the NCAA. You've got all kinds of challenges out there. And, you know, what excites me about it the most is, I referenced before, hey, what are we going to look like in the next 100 years? I'd like to think that we will make good decisions around a whole host of really complicated problems and questions and issues that set us up for success going forward into the future. I'm going to get the good fortune of playing a small part of that history. And my goal is to make sure that whatever time that is, it is as good as it can possibly be, to make sure that when we look down the path somewhere in the future, people go, wow, somebody made a good decision back there about whatever it is, whether it's membership, whether it's conference tournaments, whether it's about the athlete experience, whatever it might be. So that's what excites me. You get to dictate some of that in the leadership role. But you also have to convince at least six other institutions that what you think is a good idea actually is. And so that's part of the challenge. And honestly, it's a very interesting and exciting one, and one that I doesn't cause me any difficulty waking up in the morning to get to work. I mean, I love doing it. So it's good stuff.
Gotcha. Just a heads up here, kind of as we're wrapping this up, we got about 5 minutes left on our time here that we like to keep these things to. So we're going to throw a few at you, maybe a little rapid fire. This one probably maybe more a little in depth than the next few, but you know, could you see the conference moving to a basketball challenge, like a SoCon Sun Belt or something like that?
Well, you know, I'd be very interested in that. You know, I don't have any reluctance to do that. You got to have a partner who wants to dance with you. And, if you talk to our basketball coaches, the challenges of scheduling basketball are as epic as any, as it relates to some of the things we're trying to figure out in college sports. So very open to it. Any of the other 30 some conferences out there, happy to partner with any of them. Power Five, MEAC, SWAC, Big South, Southern Conference, not Southern Conference, we're the Southern Conference, CAA, you name it. Like, pick the conference. I'm happy to try and put a basketball challenge in place if we can find some willing partners. Very interested.
I definitely think all the fans would like to see that. These are a few that we got from our fans here. Have you been to the mini dome at ETSU?
I have.
Tell me what you think about it.
Really fascinating building. I mean, you got some really unique opportunities there. And I think they're doing some really good things with it. You know, how they use it on a daily basis, the way they put it, you know, the way they utilize it in the course of their day-to-day operations, I think is incredible. I got a tour of it, you know, really fascinating building, you know, so that's my general takeaway in it.
This is kind of more of a fun one. You're driving alone in the car on the interstate. What's your go-to karaoke song? You know, what are you singing along with?
Oh, I'm putting in the Killers, All These Things I've Done.
And Will, you got anything else to add here?
Yeah, you know, I have two good questions here, I think. So how can the Southern Conference learn from recent football success of, you know, bigger conferences out west, such as Big Sky, you know, Missouri Valley, even CAA?
Well, you know, look, the ability to get to the NCAA tournament is a byproduct of a whole host of things. And, you know, it starts with institutional investments in facilities, in coaches, in recruiting. You know, and the, some of the schools that you see out west that are having success right now, they've done a good job doing those things. I think our conference institutions, top to bottom, are doing an outstanding job of those things. Sometimes you got to win a game more than you did. You never want to leave your situation in the hands of a committee who has to come down and try and make tough choices at the end. I've been fortunate to be on two NCAA committees, the baseball committee and the hockey committee. And you get down to those last choices. Those are hard, hard choices. So put yourself in a position to be the team selected, number one. But number two, make sure that all of the information that goes into that decision-making has been well thought out in a way that has the people making those decisions really well informed about why your choice and your institution is the right choice, or your institutions are the right choice. So we've got strong football. We've got three ranked right now. We've got others receiving votes. We're going to be in a good spot there. So I'm going to be on every campus this fall. I'll see a home game at every one of our nine football playing campuses. And I'm confident that our teams are going to deliver, and we'll be talking about a lot of SoCon schools come, you know, mid-November as it relates to who should be going to the tournament.
Absolutely. And, you know, to go ahead and plug ourselves, maybe we can have you back on towards the end of that, and we can kind of talk about football and what it's been like so far in your first few months with sports going on as the commissioner. Kind of wrapping things up here, we got about 30 seconds left. We want to thank you for your time. We really appreciate having you on, and we hope the fans can kind of get to know you a little bit more as commissioner, maybe a little bit more than we had the opportunity to know the prior. And maybe they won't throw so much hate out there at you on Twitter after their team loses a big game.
Well, Cole, Will, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your fan base. And, you know, look, I just say, hey, we're people here trying to do a good job. Like, you know, if somebody has a concern or has something they want to voice, we're happy to hear it. Please let us know. It doesn't always have to be public. Like, sometimes maybe we'll give you a private, private answer, but, like, you know, we're in the business of trying to educate people and have them understand what we're doing. So if you got a question or a thought or something to help make us better, we're all ears. Bring it to the table. Just please do it respectfully. That's all I ask.